Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 138, recorded on September 28th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? I just realized that iOS is just like a few syllables away from sounding really dirty. For some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just my brain.
Like, you mean like cloitus?
Oh, yeah, I think you added an extra letter there, but yeah, I guess that's what it would be.
I don't know. When you said all things iOS, it just sounded wrong. But we say that every week, so I don't know. I've thought it before. I'm just finally sharing.
Okay, it's good. This will be a therapy session. Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, and since it's a therapy session, I think I'm doing better this week, Michael. Thank you.
Good.
How about you?
I've been fantastic.
Awesome.
Yes. And you know why? Do you know why? Can you guess? I bet you can guess. Don't say it because I'm going to say it, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Go ahead and say it.
Apple has finally issued invitations for the iPhone event.
And you got one?
Yeah, I got one. You didn't get one?
I got one.
This is awkward. No, I did not get an invitation to the event. However, some interesting bits of information about this invitation. So the obvious stuff, October 4th, 10 a.m., I believe the Wall Street Journal pinned that date down, and then Jim Dalrymple confirmed with a yep. I think we talked about that last week. And so the invitation. So it's four icons. The calendar icon with Tuesday the 4th, 10 a.m. on the clock, or, you know, 10 p.m., but it's 10 a.m. And, of course, the maps icon with the pin right next to One Infinite Loop, Apple's headquarters in Cupertino.
And to be fair, that's the standard maps icon.
It is. And I appreciate that. I enjoy it every time I think about the way they set that up.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah. And finally, a phone icon, the icon for the phone with a number one on it, as if maybe they missed a call. Or maybe someone left.
Or maybe they just couldn't get a signal to answer the call.
And just got a voicemail later on. And then at the bottom it says, let's talk iPhone. So, do we want to pick apart this thing real quick? There are a couple things that I want to pick apart that I feel like have maybe already been mentioned, but...
Are you going to call conspiracy theory?
I mean, it's fun to pick apart stuff like this, because they're...
Well...
They obviously did each little bit of this for a reason. Obviously, the calendar, the clock, and the map, they're pretty apparent reasons, and then the phone. But what sticks out is the fact that there's a little one on the phone. So
really?
I think so, yeah. I think
just
if it was a male... It was a male icon, maybe I would expect there to be some messages there, but... Not necessarily a missed call or whatever. So I'm thinking either one more thing, or maybe there's only one phone.
or maybe they just have a message to deliver at the event.
Maybe there's a voicemail that they're going to play us.
I'm just saying, I think there's no point in reading anything.
I think there are little clever bits in every of these.
Some graphic decision. Like, that icon looks really boring just by itself. Let's just... throw a little splash of color in there.
Okay, Jeff, are you going to play along?
No. I'm going to play along with Adam. He totally nailed it. Okay. There's no conspiracy theory there.
And
they just did the phone icon so that it has a little more color, and it looks like what a lot of people are going to have anyhow.
Well,
one missed call or one voicemail.
They're just accepting it now. And then Let's Talk iPhone, which I didn't really put a lot of thought into that until I think on Ken Ray's podcast, he mentioned the idea of maybe it being a play on words of Let's Talk, comma, iPhone, as if maybe we're going to be hearing about the nuance speech recognition stuff.
Oh, I think I totally figured out what they meant by that. They're going to talk about the iPhone.
Oh! See, this is why punctuation helps.
This is exactly like, this is like Nostradamus kind of stuff, right? It's like we just do a bunch of analysis and then when all the people that said it can, when they say, oh yeah, and this has nuance, all this nuanced dragon stuff in that, everybody can go, see, we were right, we were right.
Yeah, it's Mike Nostradamus.
It's, you know if this... Yeah, if this was a video podcast, you would see me rolling my eyes so far back in my head. I can look up my own medulla oblongata right now.
I think we do need to do a video version of this podcast just for that. But
people will think I'm having a stroke.
Yeah, maybe not the best idea. I don't know. I'm not usually into the idea of looking into these invitations, but
excellent.
To me, this time around. No. This time around, it seemed like there was enough stuff that kind of piqued my interest. So those were the two things.
My only reaction when I saw it was I didn't even believe it was the actual invite thing. I thought it was just something that the Loop had mocked up to be, you know, an image, because it was so boring. I was like, oh, well, that's a yawner in terms of just design. And I don't know. It didn't speak to me at all. So I wasn't even about to delve into trying to get to the hidden subtext that isn't there.
Maybe that's just the best Tim Cook could do with his copy of Pages.
Yeah, because the CEO is the one responsible for the invitations.
Because they have no money for any kind of marketing budget anymore, I'm sure.
Well, they do run a tight ship there, so.
Yeah, they had to call in. They had to call in Al Gore. Tim Cook was sitting there, and he's just like, "I can't figure out how to get a little one on top of the phone." Hey, Al, come in here. I need to ask you a question.
And he says, "Okay, I'll do it in Keynote for you."
Yeah, I'll do it in Keynote, and I'll print it out as a PDF. Then have someone scan it in.
No, he'll put it out as a 2-hour documentary.
Right. And then they'll pay someone to just cut one scene out of it and send it out. And I will not be talking. I mean, the fact that Al Gore said iPhones, that was stupid. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Wait a minute. I mean, let's
everybody glommed
talk
on.
About.
Okay.
Well, because there are going to be iPhones, I think. I don't think in the way that everybody's thinking. Or a lot of people are thinking. I shouldn't say everybody. Sorry if I lumped you in that group out there. But, I think there's going to be, they'll at least continue selling the iPhone 4 as it is now, or there may be a slight chance that there's a little revision that everybody's thinking of.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is going to be two versions of the phone just like there is today, because I think Apple wants to continue to have that entry level, you know, round $100 price point product that gets people, you know, gets the people in that don't want to drop the money on an iPhone 5.
But the thing that I'm talking about is he was quoted somewhere. Do you remember where the quote was from?
It doesn't matter, because everyone totally blew it out of proportion. He said the new iPhones in October.
He said not to mention the new iPhones coming out next month. That was a plug. And to me, and it was spoken out loud, why couldn't it just be not to mention the new iPhone is coming out next month? That's all I'm saying. And I didn't want to talk about it. Now we talked about it. So. Moving on.
So that must be why there's the little one badge on the iPhone icon.
Yeah, because it's going to be one iPhone.
And see, I'm just kind of leading you along right now because I'm a dick.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So Boy Genius Report put out a post saying that they believe the iPhone 4S is going to be the only new iPhone next month, according to their sources. It's simply going to be iPhone 4S, likely with an A5 processor, 8-megapixel camera. They say a small possibility of a larger 4-inch screen, but I don't think so. Not at all. I think it's going to be the same exact everything, and the internals are going to be the only changes. And we've also started seeing some iPhone 4S cases appearing, specifically from OtterBox. They've actually put out packaging and are rumored to have produced 3 million cases for the iPhone 4S.
Wrong.
Wrong.
We're like shooting you down really hard this week. Sorry, Michael.
It's all right. I can take it.
Yeah, wrong from OtterBox's own PR people.
Yeah?
Yes. They were contacted and asked about it, and they said, no, we were doing mock-up cases so that we're ready either way for whatever device comes out.
Huh.
And that's what was leaked out. They were literally marketing mock-ups.
Cool.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, I believe you.
And because then they came out with the banner ad, right, on their site that said iPhone 4S or 5? Yes. And then everybody jumped on top of that saying, oh, there's going to be two phones. Like and OtterBox knows or has any inside info. And they basically, the spokesperson said, we're just using all those same rumor sources that everybody else is using. And we know that, you know, based on, well, we don't know, but based on that, we're assuming that it'll be one or the other. So we were just testing out packaging designs using both concepts. So that on day one or on October 4th, when we know what it is, then they're ready to roll.
Interesting.
Which makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, you have to move in this market and just the way it goes, you have to move to get your cases out as quickly as possible. So if you can do some pre-prep with your packaging and have everything ready, I mean, that's not that big of a change to have to make, right? You just have two versions ready to go to press. And if both phones come out, great, you're ready. If one phone comes out, you trash one and you send out the other one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, what about the rumor of Apple kind of accidentally putting out iPhone 4S bumpers? Did you guys hear about that?
Aren't they getting rid of the bumpers?
Well, again,
and,
according...
And wouldn't an iPhone 4S have an improved antenna design that wouldn't require a bumper?
One would think.
Well, nobody ever said that the bumper was the reason for the antenna, or the opposite way. Or that the bumper was the reason, or the antenna was the reason they had the bumper, you know. But
no, it wasn't. It was, but it was their solution.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
to the PR problem
or tape,
right?
But really thick tape.
Yes. Yeah, gaffing tape. But you didn't hear about the supposedly some customers recently purchased bumpers and the buttons were not exactly lined up properly, it just didn't fit exactly right to their phone.
I can tell you exactly what happened.
Wrong iPhone.
Yeah, they picked up the wrong cover.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
That has to be what it is.
Yeah,
or it was, you know, black market bumper out of China.
Maybe.
Did they say they got it in an Apple store? Is that the deal?
Yeah, from an Apple store. You know, I don't think I'm expecting right now, I'm expecting an iPhone 4S or I don't think they're going to call it an iPhone 5 because I think that would be a really bad idea because it's not going to be that significant externally.
Well, again,
as a change.
Yeah. That depends. I think they've been working on both. The question is, did the iPhone 5, I think they've been working on both. Question is, did the suppliers line up and did everything align, you know, did the stars align to have an iPhone 5 be ready right now?
And as far as we can tell, based on the fact that we've seen no part evidence, I would say no. So I'm expecting iPhone 4S, being almost identical, probably most entirely identical to the CDMA iPhone, so that all the cases work just fine. as we saw with the 3GS.
And I think I'd really be okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
And upgrade it. If it's got an A5 and it's got better cameras and some other new features, that'd be totally cool with me.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest thing to me was this report from 9to5Mac on Monday, where they showed their cards. They said they've heard a lot of information from various sources about the what they're calling the assistant feature in iOS 5, being the potential one more thing to the presentation, not necessarily referring to the number one on the invitation, but just in general. It seems like there's going to be, if it's just going to be an iPhone 4S, I feel like a one more thing along the lines of this assistant feature is really going to sell it. So basically what they have said it's going to be, it's essentially going to be a combination of the Nuance technology, the voice recognition technology, plus Siri, which is the company that Apple purchased, what was it, last year? Something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was a voice exactly. navigation, or voice assistant, I wouldn't even say navigation, for interfacing such as you pull up the application and say, hey, I want to make a restaurant reservation for 2:00 next Monday or something like that, and it will say, okay, what kind of restaurant do you want? And you start having a conversation with your phone, and it goes out and does useful things for you and asks you questions if necessary, and you can accomplish things without actually touching your phone. And it's been, of course, rumored for a long time that this is going to be part of iOS 5, but we haven't heard anything about it. So the speculation is that the next generation iPhone will be required for this feature, at least according to 9to5Mac, because it currently with the Nuance applications that are out on the App Store, if you want to dictate something, that recording actually goes out to Nuance's servers and comes back with the results of that dictation, because the power does not exist on the iPhone to do it well enough or quickly enough. And so 9to5 believes that it's going to be an A5 chip, a dual core chip, but it's actually going to be a gigabyte of RAM to support the feature. So that's actually going to be twice the amount of RAM that we see currently in the iPad 2. But so
that would be cool.
Now the interesting thing to me is is why they didn't talk about it during the developer conference, because to me, if I was a developer, I would be all over that, because I would want to get my application ready to use that technology. And I'm sure Apple will have ways for developers to plug into it. The only thing that I'm guessing is it just simply was not ready for presentation at that point.
Yeah. And Apple always likes to hold something back.
Oh yeah.
That's just theirs.
Right.
You know, there you can point to multiple releases where they've had technologies that they kind of hold on to, they perfect in-house, and when it's, you know, really ready, that's when then they open up the APIs. So I want to go back a little bit though and now play the invite icon tea leaf game, because the one thing that you mentioned in there that I think that I thought when I did see the icons, and I don't think this was really reading that deep into it, is that it seemed to me, because they were software icons, that very likely a larger portion of the event is going to be devoted to the software enhancements and both iOS 5 and iCloud in terms of those features. And especially if they're only doing a small rev to the phone. So if what you're thinking turns out to be the case where it's just an iPhone 4S, I think they're going to keep the focus on major software enhancements. And that definitely, you know, the voice stuff is something people have been wanting for a really long time. And that could be a good kicker to get everybody excited, even if the hardware isn't that revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah,
if I had this, there have been so many times where, and I have an iPhone mount in my car, and so I do text while I drive, because generally speaking, my eyes are almost on the road as I'm looking at the mount, because it's kind of in my field of vision, but it still is just not a good situation to have going on.
Almost, yeah, tell that to the officer. Tell that to the officer.
I'm a very good driver.
I was still looking at the road and texting.
I mean, I'll accept it if I get pulled over, but I'm a very good driver. That's all I'm saying. I'm an excellent driver, is what I'm saying. Excellent driver. But yeah, no, this would just totally make it for me. Even, and I'm of course excited about having more RAM in there, but or just having a faster iPhone. But that text to speech stuff is fantastic, and they talk about how you can just you bring up the trigger
the speech to text.
What did I say?
Text to speech.
You know, whatever. I'm sure it'll do both.
It will do both all too. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, but it does seem like right now it's going to just be integrated with Apple's current applications to start, to really just show how it works. But even the idea of such as saying open Navigon and take me to this place, any of that stuff sounds great. And I feel like the biggest use will probably be in the car. Does it seem like it would be used a whole lot outside of the car?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it can be.
If you can SMS without typing.
I would want to avoid it.
Oh, I would totally do that. Like if I'm walking somewhere and I need to be texting with someone and I can just talk to my phone to send the message, unless the contents of that message really needs to be private.
I mean, you're talking most of
sexting.
Right. which is why I don't want to say it out loud when I do it, when I'm texting.
I just have this image in my head of
me walking down the street.
Yeah, dictating their sexting and it's going to be awesome.
That'll be more fun for the rest of us, yeah.
That's
It'll
true.
Be a lot more fun, yeah.
And then having it read out loud to you on the other end. Describing
orgy.
Describing the photo, describing the ASCII photo. Can you? I wonder if that'll be a feature. Is if you could describe something to it, and then it would just draw something up in ASCII for you. Uh huh. Okay. So, do you guys have any more speculation on what we'll see as far as the iPhone 4, 4S, 5, whatever at this event?
I'm still holding hope that, you know, I know that some people are speculating nothing's happening with the iPods. I'm hoping at the very least they add 3G support with the same 3G data plans that they have for the iPad to the iPod Touch.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Because I think it'll be a nice addition to better support iMessage.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
It would be nice.
I didn't say I saw it happening.
Oh, okay.
I said I would like that to happen.
Yeah, this is why you're a pro.
Two bigger, different things.
Yes.
So it'd be cool if it happened. I have this feeling that it's not going to. But at some point, I think Apple does need to do that. And again, we talked a little bit about last week, too, them adding iMessage to the iChat or the desktop app. I think really if they want to see the iMessage stuff take off, it needs to be rolled out universally across all their platforms. So this would be a nice opportunity to make that happen. And I really think on an iPod Touch, in order for iMessage to be successful, you have to have 3G. So, I mean, it Wi-Fi is okay, but be nice.
But on the other hand, right now, if someone says, man, I would really love to have an iPod Touch with 3G, Apple's response is going to be, that's called an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Which is why there might be there's going to be the $99 phone, right? But a lot
maybe.
Of people don't like the idea of being locked into a data plan. So we've also had those rumors that the new iPhone will have pay-as-you-go plans. So maybe that's the solution. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's buy an iPhone and get a pay-as-you-go, you know, AT&T plan or Verizon plan or whatever that happens to be.
Sure.
So speaking of a new iPhone, you know, we talked about them last week. It's time to talk about our sponsor, Gazelle at gazelle.com. If you don't already know what Gazelle is, it's this wonderful service that allows you to sell your gadgets, all the stuff that you have laying around. Maybe you're thinking about, hey, got this iPhone, but I kind of want to get a new iPhone when the next iPhone comes out. I need to get rid of it so I can get some cash, buy the new one. And gazelle.com is a very good place to do that. And of course, they not only buy iPhones, they'll take iPods, computers, GPS, cameras, camcorders, essentially anything that runs on electricity, they will potentially buy. So how it works, go to gazelle.com, and in the little search box, you type in, oh, I don't know, I have an iPod, and I have a third-gen iPod, and they're probably not going to give me any money for it. So I'll say iPod Classic, fifth generation. And you look it up. They ask you some questions about it. They ask you if you have a charger, cables, accessories, that kind of thing, what kind of condition it's in, and they'll give you a price quote. They'll tell you how much they'll pay you for it. And if you want to sell it to them, they'll send you a box. So shipping is free for all items that they'll actually pay you for. And like I said, in most cases, they'll send you a box to ship your item in. So when they get it, they'll check it out. And if it works for them, if they're willing to pay for it, they'll give you money for it. The price quoted on the website via check or PayPal, or if you choose to get paid by the Amazon gift card method, you can actually get an additional 5% on that. Or you can even donate the item's value to charity if you'd like. If the item is not worth anything, Gazelle will actually help you recycle it. So if you have maybe a very old iPod that you don't want to have anymore and you is useless, maybe it's broken, something like that, you just want to make sure it's recycled properly, you can send it off to Gazelle. They actually use band certified Cloud Blue to recycle those gadgets, so it won't be anywhere bad when they do that. They've been around
in a harbor in China.
Exactly. Yeah. Kids won't be swimming in your iPods.
Exactly.
like
it's a good thing.
Like what's his name's the duck, Scrooge McDuck. That's not what I'm thinking of. Never mind. Diving through the money pit.
Yeah.
Oh,
there won't
sure,
be a big Scrooge iPod McDuck. Pit.
It is Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. It won't be a giant iPod pit. They're not behind that. Of course, these guys have been around since 2006. They've helped over 200,000 people get cash for their gadgets. If you're concerned about the stuff on your gadgets, as you should be, sending in an iPhone or an iPod, iPad, whatever, you know, you should be concerned about the personal information on there. So I'd recommend that you wipe it off, but their team is also aware of that and they respect your privacy and they will make sure that your data is properly erased before it's resold or recycled. So you don't have to worry about either of those things. So of course, if you're going to upgrade to the next iPhone, Gazelle is a really awesome way to sell your existing iPhone or what have you. Maybe you can sell a couple gadgets and get some extra cash so you can pay for the entire thing. So check it out, gazelle.com. I would recommend, it's kind of a fun experiment to go to gazelle.com and just type in several of the gadgets that you have laying around that you might be willing to sell. There's no commitment to sell it once you type it in. You just type it in, check the boxes, tell it what condition it's in, and they'll tell you how much it's worth, and you can make the decision from that point to see whether you want to sell it. And they actually have these little graphs that tell you how much a device has been worth over time. So I'm looking at the fifth generation 30 gigabyte iPod here, and it gives me a little chart over from April to current, and it's actually up a little bit in value that they'll pay you for it right now. So check it out, gazelle.com. It's fun, and you can get money too. So gazelle.com. We thank them for their support of We Have Communicators.
Cash is good.
It is, yes.
Cash, yeah, yeah.
So, or never mind. I was going to make a dumb joke. What am I talking about? That's it's the entire content of this podcast, isn't it? Dumb jokes.
Yes.
So Apple has begun blocking out vacation dates for their employees, specifically from October 9th through October 12th. As well as the 14th through the 15th. Of course, there's been speculation as to, now that we know the date of the presentation for the next iPhone, we're not sure when we're actually going to be able to buy it. A lot of people are saying the 14th. Of course,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's, what is that, a week, 2 weeks past the
That's the actual Friday date? Yeah.
That's the Friday following the announcement.
Following the event, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely right. makes sense okay. to...
That would be a reasonable date mm-hmm. then.
Yeah.
Apple UK stores have been told to block out the first 2 weeks of October. And I believe AT&T and Sprint and Verizon as well.
Yep.
They've all been told essentially the first 2 weeks of October, you can't go anywhere.
It's looking very likely that the 14th, 15th is that opening weekend.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I don't particularly understand is why it wouldn't be the second and third weeks of October.
Right. The 21st.
I mean, so
the blackout dates,
right? The 11th through the like 23rd,
because they know we're all insane and like everybody's going to be there on the opening weekend. And then there's like this, probably if we looked at the bell curve, you know, the curve of the traffic, it's like, and then it kind of drops off as everybody realizes they can just order one online and have it shipped to them.
Okay, fair enough. So, they're mainly they're interested in talking to customers about stuff leading up to it, and then the insane influx of people.
Well, yeah, because I think the assumption is, and I think this is probably pretty accurate too. Apple's done this in the past, is that we'll get the announcement on the 4th of iCloud iOS 5 stuff, and they want people on staff. That'll probably be made available that day, you know, very often, so that they're not getting crushed with two things at the same time.
Right.
I think they did that one time, right? And it was horrible.
Yeah.
They've gotten in the habit of releasing the software update first to everybody who already has devices that support it. And this would include this time iCloud, which is a, you know, pretty big deal upgrade thing. And so they want to have people on staff to answer questions, you know, at the retail stores for people who want to get, you sign up for iCloud and stuff like that. And then, follow that up on that opening weekend so that they have all hands. And they always do that when they launch the iPhones. It's, you know, all hands in store, just because the crazy long lines and stuff.
Right. So, but there
I bet that's exactly what happens.
You guys hear about October 10th possibly being the date that we'd see the new software, based on the fact that supposedly AppleCare phone associates have been told to be particularly aware of that date being something of significance?
Well, it is. America was discovered.
That's true. It is Columbus Day. Are we both looking at our iCals
yes.
right now? Yeah.
I'm looking at my iCal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm subscribed to that holiday calendar as well. Let's see. Oh, T-Mobile.
Yeah, so all the government employees, don't they get that day off? Is that not true? Is the post office open on Columbus Day?
I don't think it is. Track.
So they'll be able to get in and get their iPhones if that's the case.
Yeah.
Or at least get their iPhones right away.
They'll be able to update right away.
Update.
Yeah, they'll be able to begin queuing in line and then the next day leave.
Is anybody in line yet?
Well, there's certainly at least one person in line. There's that guy, I can't remember, but he's been sponsored by many different companies.
Is that the guy in New York?
Not the guy who's been there many times. I think we called him a media whore at some point. Not that guy.
He's out.
Okay.
Is he done? I feel like I saw him last year. He's done doing that.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the guy in Texas that sets up a tent.
No, that's the guy that's out. I think we're talking about the same person.
Okay.
No, that guy, we're talking about the media whore guy was in New York.
Then I'm all confused.
Well, it doesn't matter.
That's okay, so the media whore guy, he's the guy that set up his little lounge chair or lawn chair, whatever.
Right.
For... one of the iPhones, and he was there for like almost a month or something. And then he had all the news coverage because he was the first guy in line at the big Apple store. And then for all the launches after that, then he was at the beginning of the line, and he was doing it for the visibility, and he didn't even really know what he was buying. And then there's the guy in Texas who really wanted to be the first to get his iOS device, so the phones. I can't remember if he stood in line for the iPad, but he set up a tent outside, and it just happened that the launches would fall when he was on break from college.
Right, yeah. That's from last year. Anyway, we'll figure it out. I'm sure the guy listens because he sent me an email. I just can't find it right now. But I should check my other email account.
Tell him hi when he sends in an email.
Yeah, well, I mean, he might send in hey, guy out there, if you... if you're hearing this, send us an email with a voice message in it, so we can actually play it on the air. Or you can send or you can call us 202-642-6667 and leave a message about that, because we want to talk about it. So anyway, moving on. T-Mobile's CEO has mentioned once again that T-Mobile will not be carrying the next generation iPhone.
It's nice to actually have an actual fact that's like verified by someone who would know that we can
Isn't
actually
it?
Talk about.
I know.
So I can say with 100% certainty, T-Mobile is not getting the iPhone.
Yep.
And yay!
And it does not seem like
too much.
Doesn't seem like AT&T is going to be getting T-Mobile anytime soon either.
No.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so this letter backs up what T-Mobile's executive staff has been saying ever since the merger was announced, which is they are not getting the iPhone. And I think at one point they said, we are not getting the iPhone before the merger happens. So they've been very clear about this for months. And this is just another reaffirmation of what they've been telling us.
I'm just happy it's something related to the next generation iPhone that is actually not based on rumor and conjecture. It's refreshing.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it's something that's you can't really go much further than, yeah, you're not going to get it. So anyway.
Well, it sucks. I mean, I really think it's just we're way past the time when this shouldn't even be an issue. I mean, Apple has the chipsets. It can make the devices. It should just be with whatever carrier you want to have it on. Like, I just, the day that you can just, you know, get the iPhone and use it with your favorite carrier of choice is in the States is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's going to be good for Apple. It's good for consumers. It's good. It's just a good thing all around.
Right. And T-Mobile, I think he did make a point to again mention the fact that they have over 1 million iPhone users on the T-Mobile network, including my mother. He actually mentioned that my mom is on there too.
Yeah. I mean, so you can see, I mean, there's demand. There's people that have iPhones on all kinds of, you know, strange, what's the MVO? I can never remember that acronym for the mobile operators where they, you know,
yeah, I think it's MVO.
Mobile something operator. And there's an N in there. I don't know. Anyway.
MVNO. Know, like
the Cricket Wireless and Virgin and
Boost Mobile. You
know, Boost Mobile and Walmart Wireless.
Walmart has a cell phone company now?
No. But I mean, they could.
Oh.
I think Disney had one for a little bit.
I bet they did. Yeah, huh?
if they don't already. Or if they don't still. But yeah, I mean, point is that it's CDMA, GSM. I think Jeff knows, I think you know more about this than I do, but there was one carrier that couldn't be supported, right? Because of the frequencies in the current models.
Cellular One?
I don't remember.
US Cellular.
There's one frequency in the current models that isn't supported.
Well, for right. T-Mobile, they don't have the 3G data frequency supported.
That's it. Yeah. So even more reason why it's not even ready really for T-Mobile.
So you're saying that in the next generation chip that we're assuming is going to be used in the iPhone 4S, that does not support the 3G frequency still?
No, that's T-Mobile? Different.
What I'm saying is all the iPhones Apple has made to date do not support that.
Right, yeah.
The current
we
ones that are out
we don't know about the next horizon.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
I would really be shocked if the 3G chipset in this next phone that comes out is not, you know, one chipset for all the carriers, both GSM and CDMA, because I think it just simplifies the whole process for Apple. But
is there a chipset that supports all the necessary frequencies?
I thought Motorola, not Motorola, Qualcomm had one.
Qualcomm has one. I think it's missing a couple important frequencies, but I'm not sure.
Then I may be wrong.
And I think they're missing the GSM side.
Well, it's just, you know, from a buying standpoint, it's just so wonky. And when I heard that, you know, there was a rumor floating around that when Sprint got the, if Sprint was going to potentially get the iPad, but if they did get the iPad, it would be a whole nother CDMA version. So you'd have to be like, okay, I want a white iPad, and then I want a 3G model. And then you have to say, well, do you want Sprint, AT&T, or Verizon? And it'd be nice to just say, I just want the 3G one.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to be able to say that.
Just
now, I think that'll be easier to do. Yeah, it'll be easier to do on an iPad than an iPhone, because even if they had to put two chipsets in there, there's a little more room to play inside an iPad than there is in an iPhone.
True.
Yep.
Very true.
So, according to TUAW, they've been sitting on a tip for a little while, and what they have heard is that Apple is planning to discontinue the iPod Classic and the iPod Shuffle. And I would guess...
Not shocking.
No, not shocking. And I would guess it very silently. I'm guessing we won't hear anything about it, and then maybe an hour after the announcements of the new iPhones and stuff, someone will go to Apple.com and notice that the iPods aren't there anymore. Well, at least the iPod Classic and the Shuffle.
You know, I really hope the rumor is wrong.
Oh, me too.
And yeah, and that's because having that $49 entry point for the iPod, that's really nice, because there's a lot of people, I think, that buy that, and it locks them into the Apple ecosystem. And so then the next time they want a new media player, well, they've already got an iPod Shuffle, so they just move on up to a new iPod model. I really like the idea of the iPod Classic being around, because there isn't an iPod that can hold that much content except for the Classic.
Yeah. So it's up to 160 gig on the iPod Classic. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Beyond some very special edge cases, though, and I'm thinking mainly probably for exercise is probably the biggest one. Do you know a lot of people who are using dedicated music players now versus some other thing that has
other features such as
digital music support? So be it their Android phone or their iPhone or their iPod Touch.
I think that I would say, I can't really think of anybody in particular, but I would say that in the cases where that seems to make sense, I would say anything but an iPhone as their phone, and then they would have an iPod.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, see a lot of that.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of iPod Classics out though. But
nope. I do carry my iPod
Shuffle
Classic.
Nano and Touch. I see a lot of those, and I have friends, many friends, that use one of the iPod models all the time, and then they have a different phone.
Yeah,
yeah.
You see a lot of Shuffles, Jeff?
Not as many, but then again, it's so damn small.
Right, it's true. It's very stealthy. But I feel like
if you go to a gym, you probably do.
I think most
you see
of
a lot
the
of people walk in that treadmill with a Shuffle clipped to their their shirt or their belt or something like that.
You know, and when I go out and I have more than my iPhone, which means I have my iPad with me, I have an iPod Nano all the time too. So if I'm carrying more than my iPhone, I actually have 3 Apple Media devices with me all the time.
Now, what's the Nano? You're saying you're counting the iPad as a Nano?
No. I have a Nano and the iPad.
So you have it hooked up.
And my iPhone all the time.
Oh, so you just take all three of those with you.
I take all three. And if I'm going to listen to music while I'm out, I'm probably going to listen to it on the Nano.
Huh.
Now, I don't use my iPad or iPhone as music players hardly ever.
Wouldn't you think that the Nano is still going to be around, I don't think it's going to change, but it's probably way due for a price drop. Seems like they should probably be able to get that down to $99.
I think they should be able to.
That would be an awesome price point for that.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, considering today's Amazon announcement, it seems like they should be able to drop the price on an 8 gig iPod Nano.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could get an 8 gig 7-inch tablet for $99.
Right.
Now keep in mind, is that a subsidized price?
It is a subsidized price, I think. But only like $50, right? Is that right? So if they kept the pricing the same, I think it ends up still being the same as an 8 gig Nano. So you could do 8 gig Nano or 7-inch Amazon Kindle tablet thing.
Yeah, so we should talk about that. So Amazon today, right, announced a new lineup of Kindles, which includes the standard Kindle, $80. They're all the same 6-inch screen size, which I didn't realize a Kindle was that small. I guess I'm just used to my iPad, but that seems a little bit small, but it is very portable. So they're all thinner, lighter. So the standard issue Kindle with the buttons and the e-ink and black and white is $80. The Kindle Touch, $100. So you actually use it through touch instead of using buttons, which is nice. And then they have the Kindle Touch 3G, which has the same 3G deal that the previous Kindle 3G had, which is you buy it and you don't pay for the 3G service. You just get it for free forever.
Just like Amazon has always done with Kindles.
Right.
Because that's what WhisperNet is.
Right, right. And that's very cool. I like that. Now,
so the 3G model is $150, basically the same as an iPod Nano with the ad-supported stuff. So you got to subject yourself to ads, but then you can get it for $149.
Or you can, what is it, like $20 or $30 more without ads?
$40.
Okay, yeah, $40 more, and you don't get ads on there, which again is still a really good price. Now, the really cool thing that Amazon announced is, I would say, the Kindle Fire. Because it's a 7-inch tablet for $200, a dual-core processor, it's Android, right?
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't know.
You would not know. That's why I'd asked.
Well, and I want to know more about the processor, but apparently there's no details on that. Okay. Right? I wasn't able to find any today.
I'd be surprised if we get details because from Amazon's standpoint, why? How many details have they given us about the processors for every other Kindle model they've sold?
I would guess none.
There you go.
Yeah. So it looks really nice. It's 7.5 by 4.7 inches, 0.45 inches thin or thick. That's thicker than the iPad, right?
You're asking the hard questions.
I know.
Now I got to go look
at super relevant questions.
I believe it's thicker than the iPad. Well, thicker than the iPad 2.
Yeah, 0.34 is the iPad 2. So this isn't bad. This is doing real well. 14.6 ounces. So I'm guessing it's probably lighter than the iPad. Yeah.
I think Steve is just saying, well, it's still a tweener.
Yeah, it's totally a tweener device. And if anyone thinks this is designed to go head-to-head with the iPad, I think they're horribly misguided. This is not an iPad competitor. This is a Nook competitor.
And I think Amazon's not positioning it that way either. Right. What'll be interesting is, do consumers choose to position it that way, though.
I think consumers will because of the low price point. At $200 is seriously competitive.
I think consumers that are looking for a dedicated media consumption device will look at this as a viable alternative to the iPad.
And it is. But, I would argue that it absolutely is. If someone came to me and said, I want a device, a portable tablet-like device, and I just want it for browsing, surfing the web, watching movies, and reading ebooks.
And you don't care about the...
Do I buy a $200 this or a $500 iPad? And I would say you'd almost be stupid to buy the iPad if that's all you're going to use it for.
Right. And the screen, so it has the IPS screen, 1024 by 600, so it's...
It's a weird aspect ratio.
Yeah, it is a weird aspect ratio. I just realized
that. But it's probably an appropriate aspect ratio for book pages.
Yeah. I wonder how well it does in terms of reading in light.
Probably totally crappy.
Probably just as crappy as the iPad.
Just like the iPad.
Yeah.
And probably actually worse, because I'm guessing it's not as good a screen as the IPS iPad screen.
Maybe.
Yeah, we have to wait until it's actually in a head-to-head comparison. But.
Now, Amazon Prime users get movies and TV shows for free. Do you guys hear about that?
Yes, you do. You get streaming.
Wow. So I'm guessing these are probably special Amazon Prime
But again, it's not free.
Offers.
Amazon Prime is, what, $80 a year?
Yeah, that's true. But at least you get a little more bang for your buck with that Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. There's
which
a
means
lot of
they also get the, yeah, so they also get the special two-day shipping on products they buy. So that's a nice little bonus, too.
And they have the Amazon Silk idea, the browser that they have, it's kind of has that same Opera technology where they render
it's just web pre-caching, right?
Yeah, they render it on a server and send it out to you.
See, this is where Amazon is being really smart, and this is where they're really showing that they want this to be a consumer consumption device. Because the pre-caching means that everything that you do on in the web browser, they have. Because
it goes through
all,
their servers.
Yeah, so they can data mine everything that you're doing. Now, they're saying that they are collecting all that data, and they'd be foolish not to, but that they're keeping it anonymous. So what they're doing is letting people buy a device that gives them all of the consumer data mining they could ever want, and they don't actually have to pay for it themselves.
But, you know, and the thing is people have to remember, though, anonymity is a relative thing when you're a marketer, right? Because I can guarantee you it's not anonymous. It's anonymous at a person level, but it's probably not anonymous at a region level, right? And how regional is that, right?
That's a good question.
As regional as your house?
They can use data to figure out trends in certain areas and then craft their marketing messages and craft their... You know, because even different regions of the country have vastly different types of behaviors and things like that that can be gleaned from, you know, what people are web surfing. So there's a ton of power in there, even without, you know, saying, oh, this is tied to so-and-so and this is their income and this is their... You can still say, well, we know that this zip code has... This product is trending in this zip code right now, right? And then when they send out their Amazon.com marketing emails, they can target the consumers that they know that are in certain zip codes and certain cities and certain regions and certain states, that sort of thing. And then conversion rates go up. So it's very valuable to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I have one question because I didn't follow this really closely. Are the apps, because it's running on Android, the same apps that you'd get for an Android device, or do they have to be specifically written for, you know, apps and games and stuff like that? They have to be specifically written for the Amazon variant. Like, are they going to have their own app store? And is it another?
They are going to have their own app store.
Build for.
Yes. Yeah, so, From what I understand, you have to go through the Amazon App Store to get apps for this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything that said that your Amazon apps have to be specifically coded for the Kindle Fire.
Well, cool. Good for Amazon, right? $200
Yeah, they're going to sell a ton of these things. Yep. I think it's going to be very popular.
And it's definitely going to continue to push Apple.
I won't speak for Jeff, but I think it sounded like he was in the same camp that I think these are two different markets.
Yeah, these are two different markets. This isn't going to push Apple on the hardware side. I can see Apple doing some things with the other services they offer to make them more enticing in relation to what Amazon has. So in that sense, sure, good for the consumer. But I don't see this as a product that's going to make Apple sit back and go, holy crap, we have to redesign the iPad now.
Well, certainly not. But I'm thinking they'll have to think about pricing of the iPad. Although $500 is still pretty good for what it is. It's probably not nearly as powerful as the iPad.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why Apple needs to change the iPad pricing because of this.
Yeah. I need to look at the show notes. I'm trying to find the show notes. Do we have in the show notes, there is a relevant Amazon thing that happened recently that benefits iPad owners.
What would that be?
Their new library program. Their library lending program for ebooks.
Oh, does that extend to app users on the
Kindle app on the iPad? Yeah, so they have a list. I think they partnered with like 11,000 libraries, and I don't know if I think it's just the states right now in the U.S. But if you're in an area where your library supports this, you can go on Amazon's site, and I can't remember. I should have written this down. There's a partner, but you should be able to find information through your local library and find out if they have the support for the new Kindle program. But basically, you just plug in your library card number and your account information with your local library, and they have books on there, and you can now check them out and have them automatically whisper synced. I think uses the whisper sync technology over to your device. So you don't even have to go to the library. You just do it all online through your library website. And you can borrow books. And there's different time periods.
Cool.
Yeah, different time periods for different ebooks, depending on the publisher, I think. But 3 weeks sounds like it's a typical loan period. And then I think it just kind of automatically deletes itself after the loan period's up if you don't, you know, renew it. Which is cool.
Yeah, that's pretty typical. But yeah, that's really cool.
Yep.
So get the Kindle app for your iPad and check out some books.
Oh, I have it. There are a couple books that I have been able to find on Amazon that I cannot find on the iBook store.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great option for iPhone, iPad owners, mm-hmm. iPod Touch owners.
So are we ready to move on to our picks, gentlemen?
I'm ready.
Okay, you want to go first, Adam?
Sure. And mine is actually somewhat related to a little bit of the nuance stuff that we were talking about earlier. So normally I wouldn't pick this kind of commercial of an app, but it has a really cool technology in it. So have you guys seen the new Target app?
No.
For the iPad and the iPhone?
I have not.
So it has a number of different features. So there's obviously a store finder that uses geolocation to find stores near you. They are doing a little bit of a Groupon kind of thing where you can go on and each day they have specific deals for Target stores in your region. So it's like a daily, you know, set of deals that you can check out through the app. They have your local flyer circular for the week that you can flip through, and it it's the kind of thing where you flip through the pages and you can see the different promotions that are going on. But the one killer feature that's in here is a thing called My Lists. So you can make a shopping list through it, but when you go to type in up at the top, when you're doing the editing, it has a little record icon, a little microphone icon. And you can speak your item into it, and it uses the Nuance technology, and it will type it for you onto your list.
Cool.
So you can kind of get an early sample of what to expect if Apple does roll it into iOS 5. Uses the same underlying technology, and it's fast and accurate. I was playing around with it, saying all kinds of different things, and it was spot on, and it was quick. And I was doing it over Wi-Fi. I don't think I've tried it over 3G yet, but very cool. And then as an added bonus, they've got the little target dog in the main app interface, and it's a little bobblehead, so you can tap his head, and that'll bobble back and forth.
Excellent.
Just for fun. So
that's what they call a value add.
We all shop at Target, right?
I occasionally shop at Target. When I need a Target type product, I go to Target. I don't go to Walmart because it makes me sad.
Yeah, so you can search, and of course you can search through Target's catalog and you can buy stuff. I think you can buy through Target online. I haven't gone that deep into it. I mainly got it to check out the voice stuff. And it's really nicely designed. It's a good looking app. It has a lot of nice features in it. Between the daily deals thing and the list. I don't know how much I'll use it, but definitely worth checking out just from a technology standpoint for geeks.
Now we're talking the iPhone app, right? Not the iPad?
I have the iPad one.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about, does the iPhone one also have the voice stuff in it?
I don't know. I guess I assumed it was universal, but you're right. It is two apps because I think I downloaded the HD one.
Yeah.
Is there one that's Target HD?
Yeah, there's Target and then there's Target for iPad and they look pretty identical.
I have not tried the iPhone one, so I can't say if it's in there or not, but I would assume it is because I think it just uses the server side Nuance stuff, the same thing that the free dictation app would use from Nuance. So
cool.
I don't think it's anything more than that.
Well, check it out. Target for iPad, or if you don't have an iPad, Target. Both of them are free. You can get both if you want. Unfortunately, it's not universal, which I don't understand, but all right.
Yeah, I don't get that either. That baffles me.
They're retailers, not app developers, so I guess it's just outside their bailiwick.
So when you're on the list, it has a little speak to add icon above the keyboard, and you just tap on that.
Cool.
Say what you want. And you don't even have to say what you want. You can say whatever you want. I haven't tried swearing into it yet, though. See what would happen. Which could be a fun test.
A dozen of... I'm not going to swear. Jeff.
I didn't try saying, a dozen penises or something like that.
Well, see, that might... I think that might have been worse than an actual swear word because that's just stupid. I'm sorry. Jeff, what's your pick this week?
Well, it was going to be a dozen penises, but since that's been taken now.
A dozen nipples.
A dozen nipples, that's right.
I have to beep so much out this week.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm choosing a weather app this week.
It's called
Magical. Oh, did
Is
I just
your
pick
pick?
Your...
Okay, we'll say it's a joint pick. Continue.
All right. Sorry. You didn't tell me.
I don't know about this app. Now I have to look it up. So you guys both know about this and I don't. Where have I been?
Okay. So
I don't think I'm on our PR list.
Okay.
It's 99 cents. So you'll be able to afford it anyhow. It's iPad only. And it's a really beautiful weather application. And so it can pick your or set the weather based on your current location. And it has these beautiful animated full screen images that depict what the current weather is like for you. And then it has just a very easy to read interface showing you what the current weather conditions are along with weather forecasts. And then if you flick the weather part or the weather forecast, then you can see what the current temperatures are for you for today. So you can see the hour by hour temperature.
And conditions.
That's right.
Yes.
And it's just a really, really pretty application.
Very pleasant. Yeah, there's a lot of really, I think a lot of the delight comes from the various backgrounds on which the weather information is displayed. So I'm looking at current local weather. It's a bunch of clouds rolling around and just looking really awesome. And so like Jeff said, it has the local weather. So it's based on your current location. So whenever you go to, there's a little kind of Safari style tab browse kind of thing. So you tap that button and you see a bunch of different locations that you can set. So you can set for Chicago, New York, LA, etc. And then you have the local weather at the top, so you can always get the local weather right there. And yeah, it's really pretty and really intuitive and easy to use, and it's only 99 cents.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because since I've started playing with this app, I'll set up my iPad on my desk in the picture frame kind of mode, and I'm just letting this run. So I can see the weather, but then I have just that kind of nice, soothing image. I know I'm kind of weird, but it's just, it's really pretty to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So should I pick something else to go along with this?
I mean, if you want to.
Hold on, let's see what else is on my iPad right now. Have we talked about Crimson?
No.
Okay, that's a fun game. And I'm sorry, I can't remember who wrote the game. But, it's from Bungie, actually. You become captain of a pirate ship in the Caribbean or Caribbean, depending on where you're from. And the whole game is set up so it's kind of steampunkish also. And it's kind of like almost like a turn-based game where you're looking down on the map and so your job is to take the little ship you have and then do raids and upgrade to newer ships and better ships, and you have to plunder towns to add to your crews, and so your job, I guess, is to become the pirate admiral. And it's just it's a really fun game. The graphics are really nice. The soundtrack is really nice. It's easy to figure out. And there you go. It's called Crimson. Well, it might be called Crimson something else, but on my iPad.
It's called Crimson: Steam Pirates.
There we go. On my iPad, all it says is Crimson.
Yeah. It looks
and
cool,
I have no
though.
Idea how much it costs.
I think it's free.
It is free.
Oh, okay.
And then
that's cool.
there's a like an upgrade element. I think you get a certain number of levels for free, but it's a significant number. It's not like it's totally crippled. You get to play for quite a bit.
And it's only $2 for the in-app purchase. So,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. Yeah, it's a fun little game.
Yeah, awesome. Well, there we go. Now we have three picks.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Sure thing. I've got your back.
And Michael didn't have to do most of the talking for him.
I know, right? Smooth sailing for me.
What the hell? I want a raise.
Okay. We'll talk.
Okay.
All right. So with that, you can, of course, check out all the iPhone picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. If you have the time and the inclination, we'd really appreciate a review or a rating in iTunes. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That is the email address. You can call us if you'd like, 202-642-6667. I'll read it again, 202-642-6667. And leave us a message, questions, comments, feedback, all that kind of stuff. Or you can send in audio via email so we can play that on the show. We really appreciate that. Thanks again to our sponsor, Gazelle.com. Check them out. Gazelle will buy your stuff, your electronics. And yeah, that's always a good thing. You can use that money to buy a new iPhone. Of course, our advertising is handled by the wonderful folks at BackbeatMedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and you can find his drawings on Zazzle, Zazzle.com/Jay Gamet, including the We Have Communicators mug. Jeff, have you been drawing recently?
I haven't been drawing recently because I haven't been able to fully use my left hand for almost a month now.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to...
But I'm getting closer.
Do you want to go into what happened with... I don't know what happened with your hand.
Oh, okay, sure. The short version is not everyone is adept at riding a bicycle.
Oh.
And so a guy clipped my handlebars, and I ended up going up over the front of my handlebars.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Good thing it was just your hand, right?
Yeah, but I'm left-handed. So I bruised the bones in my left hand and left wrist and my forearm, and it's just... It's been a very slow recovery, but I'm getting better. And if my hand isn't hurting, and you're going to Met Computer Expo on October 1st, come by the TMO table. Maybe I'll draw you a picture because I'll have my iPad with me.
Ooh!
Or at least you can shake their hand, right? Do you shake right or shake left?
I shake right-handed because people get really freaked out when you try and shake left-handed.
Yeah. You're like, wait, this doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah, shake his hand.
Yeah, yeah, so and I'm going to be there, Adam's too. Adam's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam is running the keynote presentation.
I am, emceeing the keynote presentation. And for those who can't make it, I will try. Last year, I recorded it and put it out on the Maccast, and I will try and do that again. I'm assuming they're going to let me, but I haven't asked yet. So, but if I can, you should be able to get the audio of that off my feed. But we'd love it if you're in the area, anywhere near Petaluma. You should come out because it's a really, really fun show. And you know, Smile's going to be there. Gene's going to be there. Chris Breen is going to be there.
Ooh.
Jason Snell from Macworld. I mean, it's like a big Mac geek fest.
Jeff Carlson.
I kind of want to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Negrino. Oh,
Bert Monroy. Monroy. Yeah, uh-huh. And he's going to have his big, you know, the big Photoshop Times Square project, I think, is going to be on display.
Wow. That sounds like fun. Where does someone go to find out more about that, about the Mac Computer Expo?
MacComputerExpo.com.
Awesome.
I think it's actually ncmug/. Hold on.
Well, it redirects.
Does it redirect? Okay.
I'll double check, but I've been doing it all week. So, yeah. MacComputerExpo.com will read.
Perfect.
Yes.
Wait, I'm taking. Did it work?
Yep.
Okay.
Totally. And of course, you can find Adam Christensen at the Maccast, maccast.com. He's on Twitter, at Maccast is his handle. And the member version of the Maccast is at member.maccast.com.
Yep. And that URL's not working for me, Michael. It worked for you?
MacComputerExpo.com. And that works.
Yeah, something's going on with my DNS right now.
Huh.
So... And related to the drawing thing, I just finished recording and I'm about to push out a new member episode on my favorite drawing apps for the iPad.
Cool.
So I run down 5 apps that I sketch and do drawings with. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yep, check it out. Member.maccast.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Michael Johnston, as well as at Lil Reviews, L-I-L Reviews. That's where I write little reviews of... mostly everything. Computers, gadgets, food, beers sometimes, all that stuff. Stuff that I have a little bit of an opinion of, not too much because otherwise it wouldn't fit on Twitter. But yeah, with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
A phone.
A phone.
A phone.
An iPod.
An iPod.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?